Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers 265, the box office report for the week ending March 19th. There we go. It's, we're like Genesis.
Again.
And then there were three.
And then there were three.
We will go around the table ever so quickly and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Ta-da.
Done.
So, done. So thanks for tuning in.
We'll see you next week.
Well, you know what? At least we won't have Dan making all those gratuitous.
I know. You know. He's so offensive. They have no idea how much stuff we have to cut out of the show.
Hey, My job will go down by half. They don't realize that.
These shows usually run about 3 hours because of Dan's foul mouth.
Right.
And if Michael Hafner's here talking about Ninja Turtles, seven hours.
We're
still recording last episode.
Yeah, remember that first episode with Hafner and Dan. There ended up being like 40 minutes on fisting Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, well, I think they just recapped the synopsis of that porn parody.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, I think Mike thought that that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
And then he got way off.
Just would not stop.
Shameless
plugs. Don't forget that we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. And you can join our League of Show Sharers, not on iTunes, because why would they want to step into the early 2000s and allow people to share things?
Have you checked iTunes lately?
I have.
Someone told us they wrote us a review.
It has not popped up. We have a new rating, but it has not popped up as a review.
Okay.
You can share from iTunes.
You can?
You can share individual episodes.
Ah.
Yeah.
I also know iTunes sometimes throttles reviews.
Yeah.
They won't let them through for a couple days for some reason. I have no idea why.
Okay.
Don't forget, you can also share the show. You can join our League of Show Sharers, going to our Facebook page at facebook.com/realspoilers, and share the show with your friends and or loved ones, depending on how your privacy settings are configured. So people that were kind enough to do it this week, Linnea Thunsell, Chris Sanders, Brett Schulte, Kevin Krysek. Did I say it right?
Krysek?
Sure.
He can correct us.
Yeah, they always do.
Yeah.
That's the only way we can get interaction on this show.
Jason Weese, Librarian Cynthia, Timmy Tuzoons, Tom Comiskey, Nick Scott, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Tammy Sherman Powers, Julianne Jordan, Griffin Fox Smith, Brent Smith, no relation, and Travis Tewitt. So,
it sounds like a law firm. Tammy Sherman Powers and Smith & Smith.
Yeah. So thanks for doing that. We greatly appreciate it. You guys do that, especially the ones that have enough free time to do it every week. So thank
you guys are great. Thank you
tremendously. So
I feel like we should say that, like, we got called out on our Godzilla episode for not talking about the Jurassic Park line.
I honestly completely forgot that
line was in the movie.
I honestly didn't know how to feel about it. I love Jurassic Park.
Care,
one whatever. Of my favorite movies of all time. And when Samuel Jackson's on the helicopter and goes, hold on to your butts. I'm like, I mean, is that a clever homage?
Yeah.
Or is that just
the whole
movie's
like an homage?
I know, but it just—I don't know. It didn't work for me.
Oh, I didn't even. I was like, "Huh, it's funny." He was in Jurassic Park at the same line. Whatever.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, what did you think? Did you think that was?
You know what? I remember, I'm older.
Yeah. Do you like Jurassic Park?
It was okay.
Okay.
Oh, I love.
Like
Jurassic
Park. I saw Jurassic Park and I was like, okay, that was a movie. Like that was.
Did you read the book?
No,
it's so different.
Yeah, they're radically different.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't have this great love for Jurassic Park because I wasn't 10 when it came out. You know what I mean? Like, I was like 20 something.
Okay.
So I went and saw Jurassic Park, and then I went and had sex with my girlfriend. Like, that's but you know, that's what it, I did after. That's what I remember from Jurassic Park.
That sounds all right.
But, yeah, like, it was my...
I did that later in life.
I promise you, I had a much better evening than you did.
But you got to remember, though, like, the thing that surprises me is that it was so groundbreaking when it comes to CG and Lucasfilm basically and these technologies for that film. And the crazy thing is that it still holds up today.
Yeah.
With all the CG crap, like, that holds up.
I watched it with the kids not too long ago, and I was very impressed with how good that stuff still...
It doesn't look
but
like...
But I think part of the reason it looks so good, too, is because they did a lot of... they did a lot of real stuff, too.
There aren't it's a combination.
That, there aren't that many effect shots by today's CGI.
Like, it's him running, right? Like, that's the big one, is when Jeff Goldblum's in the back of that Jeep.
Yeah.
And the T-Rex is running at him. Like, that's the big CGI shot, isn't it?
Part of it. See, they built that huge T-Rex.
Right.
And had him in the rain and everything, and it stopped working, kind of like Jaws. They had to sop it up with towels and stuff to get it to move, but then they CGI'd, like, to enhance it. See, and that's the difference between making a CGI movie and enhancing it with CG. So, in Jurassic Park, I mean, they built raptor costumes.
No, yeah, sure, I knew that.
I mean, but people are in those raptors, and they enhance it with CG.
Okay.
And then, of course, when the Welcome to Jurassic Park and with the big brontosaurus up high, that part is CG. But when you watch it today, it's amazing how it blends in. Somehow, they made it so seamless back in the early 90s. And that's what I think is so impressive, that a movie... you know, 25 years old can hold up, whereas a movie today, you can tell when stuff is CG'd, you know?
Like, I mean, if you watch the original cuts of Star Wars, like, it's not good. Like, I mean, the CG is... the remastered edition makes that look better.
Yeah.
Like, the scene where the X-Wing, or the X-Wings are, like, flying around the planet, if you look at that old one, like, it's old 1977 CG.
But they weren't even really
CG,
though.
They were models.
It was all of the, like, the backs.
And they drew on
the
film.
Right, but if you look at the redos, like, with the exception of taking out the, or putting in the extra footage, like, just the upscaling of the CG in those, like, makes those movies look a million times better.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I know there's the diehards who are just like, no.
See, I don't like the CG in Star Wars because I think that it was 1990s CG that wasn't perfected. Like,
I don't mean the prequels. I mean 4, 5, and 6.
Well, that wasn't... I guess that was technically 99 for Phantom Menace. I'm talking about the special editions.
I gotcha.
Because they add a lot of CG in, and CG just wasn't ready for prime time like that. Like Jabba looks terrible.
Well, no. Yeah, I'm talking about, like, when they upscale the whatever, like, the practical effects. Make them a little bit darker so there's contrast with the background that doesn't make them pop out as much.
Oh, okay. Like color correction. That's good.
I don't mean like...
Yeah, I never had a problem with them, like, tweaking it to make it look better, but I also think that just from a historical standpoint, that original needs to be somewhere where the public can see it.
I agree.
Even if...
Raul Julia, hello, how are you?
He also agrees. even if the one that they kind of foist on you and make the easiest to get is the dressed up one,
right?
I do think there needs to be a version.
They're coming, right?
Supposedly
that's
Disney.
Yeah.
That's the rumor, but they've been rumoring that.
But why would they not make another billion? Okay, why would they not make another $200 million in Blu-ray sales? You know,
I'd
they will.
Again.
Oh yeah,
every single person would.
It's just found money.
Come on, yeah, totally. It is. You have it. I mean, the originals are there. You've got the film reels.
They're gonna add the Christmas special.
Oh, okay.
To it.
I'm telling
you. To the 3-disc box.
I showed that to Katie, and we could not make it 2 minutes.
It's
like,
awful.
I know.
Imagine seeing it in real time as a child.
I can't imagine.
And that was your,
like,
only way to get Star Wars.
And you're
Wars.
Like, oh, man, Star Wars is going to be Star Wars thing on TV tonight, man. This is going to be great. And you sit down, and you're just like,
great.
What is happening?
Why is B. Arthur singing about Life Day?
Why is Maud on this? What is going on?
Oh, she wasn't on Golden Girls yet, was she?
No, this is like...
she was still Maud.
Maud was very famous. There's a very famous controversial episode where she gets pregnant and has an abortion. And a lot of people don't know this, but that abortion is the Christmas special.
Oh, no.
That's a little piece of Star Wars trivia for you.
Is she supposed to be gay? Like, on Golden Girls?
No, she had boyfriends and stuff.
She did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think she's gay in real life, wasn't she?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Looking back on that show, I guess I always thought, like, she was gay, but, like, it was back then you couldn't talk about it.
I mean, she
so
had...
So you just had, like, that single life?
Well, she had boyfriends and seemed legitimately interested in them.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know if she was...
Save it for your fanfic, Joe.
Oh, so I watched Manhunter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, which is great. Like, I don't... That was awesome. Because I'd never seen it. So I was like, what? So at the end of that movie, right, he Will Graham is like distraught and he goes back to his house and like his wife is kind of not on board with him. So I'm like, what if Will Graham separates from his wife takes the kid and they leave, and Will Graham is just distraught, and finally he gets his life. He can't get past Lecter. Like he's afraid, like Lecter's always out there. So the FBI give him a new identity and ship him off to Las Vegas, and he becomes the head of a CSI unit. And there's your CSI. There's just like Manhunter is a prequel to CSI.
Oh my god!
And Dan, I sent that to Dan, and he goes, "I mean, that's impressive. Like, that's a big stretch.
Wow!
But I mean, like if you watch CSI, he's doing the Will Graham thing. Like,
I've never seen an episode.
The Las Vegas one's not bad. Yeah. Like it's a procedural, but he's doing the Will Graham thing. Like that's
what
he does.
I've never watched one procedural. The only procedural I've ever watched, if you call it that, is Gotham. You know what I mean? Like, I've never watched CSI, Law and Order, blah, blah, blah.
Law and Order was great.
Law and Order was great.
I just never have seen one. Like, I just, now it's like, at this point, where do I start?
Law and Order.
3,000 episodes of these.
The beginning.
Well, you know? But here's the beauty of Law and Order is it's not a soap opera.
Okay.
Like, you can watch every episode.
The other two are.
Yes, but the original
one is not.
The original Law and Order.
The characters don't have, like, an ongoing that you really have.
There are some story arcs in very, very, very broad strokes that are like really for the diehards. You'll get a stray line of dialogue where you'll be like, what? He got divorced? When did that
happen? What happened?
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was married.
I mean, and then, you know, but again, like it is not a soap opera in any way, shape or form. So each, I mean, that show was all about the story of the week.
Yep. You got the crime. Okay. You got
so
the
you,
Hangtime McCoy.
Cause I started watching that show when it was on cable and watched it in no kind of order and had no problem. Each one is entirely self-contained.
SVU and Criminal Intent have a through line.
That's a little different.
Yeah, but the main one does not.
And apparently B. Arthur was not a lesbian.
Oh, okay.
So she was married to one guy for 25 years. She was married twice, the later for 25 years. Now people do come out later in life. But as supportive as she was of the gay and lesbian community, because she was very supportive, I tend to think that if she was a lesbian,
that would have been front and center on the
show. She would have owned it.
Yeah.
You know, so I can only assume. And that was just from a quick Google search. So if I Googled incorrectly, I apologize to all parties concerned.
I always said, like,
so if you would care to Google B. Arthur lesbian.
Yeah.
naked pictures of B. Arthur.
I'm going to have a fun time explaining that to my wife when she.
Yeah.
What is this?
She's
B. Arthur.
She has not been part of the current leak of images. Yeah.
Is she part of the
Fappening?
I was gonna say the Motorola Razr
phone
leak,
Nokia brick,
the Zach Morris. He just dial tones that somehow spell out a picture.
Well, no, you should say brick.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's fair.
So we also
search for that.
We also got a real nice message through our Facebook page from Justin Deuce Daniel.
Oh, we did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says that he started listening around 15. I assume episode 15 and not the age.
Well, I mean, it could have been.
Could be. I don't know. But
happy 18th birthday, Daniel.
Yeah. So I know we got to clean this up.
Well, he's 18 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's fine.
Yeah. I guess the damage has been done.
Right.
You poor bastard.
All right. So, Dan can come back.
Yeah. He says, I started listening around 15, went back to one, and have listened to about 97% of your episodes. I've actually downloaded movies I didn't plan on seeing in theaters and will hold it on my phone until it's out on demand. Do you know how much memory that takes?
Yeah. I was like, it's
a lot. It takes a lot.
It does.
Do you know how many nudes that is? Yes, actually, we do. We have an app that will convert
us.
That'll tell us that, and it will
how many gigs of data
it will
you're
also
using.
Go through and prioritize which nudes to delete.
Correct.
You know,
you don't want to see that one. Like,
use this one plenty.
Right.
It's not doing the
just
same
get
it
rid
used
of it.
To. So
yeah.
Like,
it's you can boring now.
Put this to the side and then go be adventurous. Yeah.
Get the new one. I'm not lying. I think that the wrestler that got leaked, I think her career is over.
Well, yeah, I mean, WWE like, is family friendly now. So.
It is. That poor girl.
Well, like, one of the divas.
It's one of the divas.
That's a big deal or whatever. But,
it's There's nothing left to the imagination. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, because I'm in the feed, the wrestling feed that Joe and a couple other writers are part of, and I check it every once in a while. But I heard someone saying that like she is dirty.
Yeah, it's her, and she was like she was going to be there.
Suddenly, I'm interested in wrestling. Yeah. This is the most interesting wrestling conversation.
I tried to tell you the last time I went to wrestling and sent you those pictures. Like it's changed.
She was going to be like their top draw, and now. She might be their top draw for a different, completely
Paige?
Page. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with her, but
she's been hurt. Like, she broke her neck.
Oh.
And now she's been out.
Problematic.
She's been
from
out.
From
that. That's a lot.
Yeah, like, her career
that
is...
That is a tough position.
They're keeping...
on your head.
I had to let two girlfriends go over the years for that very reason.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's they, just the way it is.
They're going to keep the other guy in the tape. They're going to keep him off TV indefinitely.
Is it a wrestler?
Yeah.
So is she... Who? Is she fired and he's not?
We don't know yet.
No, there's
no announcement. So like it's a mess because Seth Rollins, who was their number
it's
one,
Seth Rollins?
No.
Oh,
but he had pictures that were leaked, and he didn't get in trouble. So now Paige's has pictures that are leaked, and everybody's like, they're thinking she's gonna get canned. And they're just like, wait a minute. You don't fire Seth Rollins for what happens, but you're going to go after her for doing this. Like, it's not like she released him. Like, her phone got hacked, or, you know, however it happened.
Huh.
But there's another wrestler who's with the promotion who is in some of the pictures who they're just like, yeah,
Are you friends with this guy? Who's
no.
the guy? Oh, what's
well, Xavier,
his name?
Xavier Woods. Which is a funny name when you think about it.
Xavier Woods.
Yeah. But he's part of like the Big Ten.
Like Xavier did.
Yeah.
Is he in the...
He's in the New Day.
Yeah.
He's the guy with the trombone. No pun intended.
I'm telling
was
you.
Was it Rusty?
It was not Rusty.
Okay.
No, but yeah.
Joe was up close at the event, so he could check it out.
They were there. Oh, they were there.
Yeah. They came out and did the trombone.
They did. Yeah.
So Joe was like front row.
I was
see
front row.
Well, congratulations. So back to poor Justin.
Poor Justin. Sorry, buddy.
He says... He says, there are some movies that I'm sorry, but even your banter and tangents can't help me give fucks to give. I think he just said that so we'd have to throw in a chicken noise.
Yeah.
We're
good
on to you.
Good for him.
We're on to you, Justin. He says, I appreciate you bringing the females and even the black guy every once in a while.
That was the part where I was like, that was a weird thing to say.
No, I think he's saying like, you know.
We appreciate it.
It's not just five white dudes talking.
Four white dudes.
Yeah. Well, especially like for Get Out, we're like, we can't have four. I mean, we try not to bring people in just because, we need our token black guy on the show.
Orlando's?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
But for a movie like Get Out, like
you can't do that.
You can't just have four white guys sitting around talking about that movie. That would defeat the purpose of the movie. It would only make that movie right.
I saw somebody tweeted, they're like, if Get Out was real, the parents in Get Out would be really excited that the movie like Get Out exists. Like the parents would be like, oh boy, we're so glad that Get Out is and doing so well.
Ryan Johnson from Star Wars.
It was just hilarious. It was like, yes, that family would be like, oh, Get Out, what a great movie.
Everyone should go see that. hang on. He says, I've never shared an episode or rated you 5 stars. I tried
delete
once.
The message.
Yeah, we're done. We're done here. You're dead to us, Justin. I tried once and iTunes glitched on. iTunes glitched?
Wow.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Unbelievable.
I don't even have iTunes installed on a computer.
Yeah. He says, I'm just not in the habit of doing that. And I'm a silent admirer of things I like usually. But everybody
there's
I know
a caveat.
Has a big but. I'm writing to ask this favor. The long and the short of it is he's hoping desperately that we will tackle Power Rangers.
Yeah.
So we're
mulling it over.
We're looking into our schedules.
We are.
To see if we can tackle Power Rangers.
We are. I was wrong about King Arthur. That's in May.
Okay.
So we're down to two.
Good. We've got another month to wait for them.
So we will do our best for you, Justin.
Absolutely.
No promises because we're very scatterbrained.
You need to leave that review first.
Yeah.
it's like buying something on eBay. Like, no. You pay me first.
Yeah, you pay and then we'll ship.
And then we'll ship. So.
Well, we got to get to Rock Dog, so.
Yeah. So. But anyway, Justin, thanks for the nice letter. And we will do our best on Power Rangers.
Absolutely, yeah.
We assure you, so.
It looks like a complete cluster.
Yes.
Yeah.
So with that all being behind us, we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. And this weekend, we had a big movie come out, and I don't think anyone here is going to be surprised by it being number one.
Belko Experiment.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Beauty and the Beast, $175 million.
That's a lot of money.
Which is, I mean, it's budget the first weekend.
Oh, man, yeah. Can you imagine if the, if that character wasn't gay? It probably would have made $176 million.
Dude, I saw...
They gotta be kicking themselves
in the ass. Somebody posted, like... it was like, you know, special report. Five men have contracted homosexuality from seeing a 3D version of Beauty and the Beast.
The satire site. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't the Onion, but
I know. And I posted on, somebody shared, I think one of our listeners, Julianne Jordan, shared it. And I wrote under it, I'm like, if they saw Beauty and the Beast on opening night, they were already predisposed.
I mean,
it's a genetic predisposition.
That controversy is so stupid. And I love, I love how Disney is, I mean, first of all, Disney is the company, right? Marvel, Star Wars.
Oh, there's no company bigger than Disney.
Disney, Pixar, right? Yeah. So they don't care. They'll do anything. And they don't do anything that, to outright offend people, but they're not in the wrong here, and they know it. And so these countries that are like, yeah, we're not going to show your movie until you edit that part out, Disney's like, we will not be opening in your country.
Yeah.
They just, they don't care. They just, okay, screw you.
They like, print money.
They're not going to back down on something, especially when...
What country was that? Malaysia?
It was, yeah.
Oh,
it was,
yeah. So they're like, they're going to get a bunch of money. Like, Malaysia's going to make or break
Malaysia's the home of ladyboy tourism.
That's a good point.
Doesn't
no
want
gay characters.
An ancillary homosexual character in a Disney movie.
Well, and I hate, we're gonna talk about
ladyboy tourism.
We're going to talk about Beauty and the Beast next week with Jim Hill, who will be joining us, our Disney expert. So I don't want to spoil too many things, but spoiler alert, the issue is a non-issue. So
of course
it's not even an issue. So it's so stupid.
If anything... Just we'll touch on it. If anything, I think he's more offensive to gay people. Yeah. He's
really
prancy and mincing.
He's the old like stereotype.
Oh my god, he's just like I mean,
we'll get into it. But
was,
I mean,
how was Luke? What's his name?
He's great. All right. And again, we don't want to spoil.
I like that guy a lot.
Oh my gosh.
And I want him to have a healthy and long career.
I would have never guessed that Luke Evans from Fast and Furious and from the Dracula movie, like, you know, was he going to be the Crow?
He was going to be, and now it's Jason Momoa.
Right, but like, I would have never guessed that he would be Gaston, like that character, and with the big singing voice and everything. I mean,
some of those guys in Hollywood, though, like, they'll surprise you.
Yeah, like, well, Hugh Jackman, oh my gosh. When you hear him sing, it's ridiculous.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, that is, I mean, he's like a, what are
Isn't
more
threat,
quadruple
though?
Threat?
How are you? Quadruple?
I don't know.
So
whatever
sing,
it is. I'm
sing,
just,
dance, act?
Sculpt?
I guess you could sculpt.
What I'm saying is
he's
he
is sculpted.
Yeah.
That's,
so
he's really good at crochet. I don't know if you know this or not. But
I didn't know that. Yeah. He's got a great comic book collection.
So Beauty and the Beast has a $160 million budget, a $175 million marketing budget.
Oh,
so
wow.
$400 million they have to make back.
That's a lot of money.
To make a profit. No, hold on. That's not right. That's about 300. So with getting 50% of the box office revenue, they have to make back essentially $600 million to make a profit.
That's a lot of money. But
$175 million opening weekend domestically and overseas. It's already, I mean, it's not wide release yet, but it's already made $40 million overseas. So,
this is a product that's going to have, it's going to rejuvenate toy sales. And
yeah, definitely.
They've already started, I mean, we were at Target the other day, and they're already re-releasing the same figures just with Emma Watson's face instead of the cartoon face.
Right. Do we want to take predictions? I mean, this is going to make over $1 billion. Easy.
You mean it's in its entire run?
Yeah.
Oh, easily.
Worldwide. I'm going to say 1.5 billion.
I think that's probably, I would say like 1.7, 1.8.
I don't think it's
going
to get to 1.5.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
What did Cinderella do? Like that's.
It did like a billion or one.
I thought it did a huge number.
Let me look real quick at the Disney.
Because Cinderella kind of came out of, nobody expected that to make that much money.
Yeah.
Well, they made a really good movie, really though. Yeah, I mean, that Kenneth Branagh did an incredible job.
Did he
that.
Direct that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh,
it's
wow.
It's so good. Like Cinderella, I mean, I didn't expect it to even be that good, but it's pretty much beat for beat. And then again, I mean, Kenneth Branagh knows his period pieces.
Oh, for
I
sure.
mean, it's such a good movie. I'm sorry, I'm just looking here.
I just felt like it made, I'm like, if Cinderella makes $1 billion, I mean, Beauty and the Beast has to.
No, that's fair.
Well, Beauty and the Beast is one of the highest. Yeah, that's why I think it's going to do so well. No, that was only a little over $500 million worldwide.
Oh, okay.
On a $100 million budget.
I would say it'll make 900 to a billion.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess 1.5 may be a little high. But the thing is, so Beauty and the Beast, the 1991 animated film, is the third highest grossing animated classic, not the CG, not the new stuff, but of the
2D
Renaissance,
2D animation.
Right, it's the third highest grossing from 91 non-adjusted, you know, it made so much money. And I'm just thinking worldwide now with distribution, with the Emma Watson, you know, from the Harry Potter fandom. And just, I just feel like this movie is going to do.
Who plays her dad?
Kevin Kline.
Oh, man.
St. Louis' own.
He's fantastic. I love that guy.
The cast is all-star. It really
so
is.
So they've got in the pipeline, right? So they've got.
Everything.
Well, but just I mean, say like, everything. But, well.
Mulan.
So Mulan, but they're not going to do any songs.
Right.
Like, they just announced that.
So far.
But they don't have anybody attached to it, right?
I mean,
the director of the Zoo movie with the redhead.
Zoo movie.
What's the new movie that just came out last week with Jessica Chastain? Something Zoo.
We Bought a Zoo.
It's not that one.
It's Utopia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what else you got?
Yeah, what is the... It's
a new Zoo review?
No, hold on. Hold on. Now I got
me and you and a dog named Zoo.
I'm surprised you know. Like, well done. Thank That's you. Impressive.
What the hell is the name of this movie? Hold on.
The Zookeeper's Wife?
Guy...
The Zookeeper's Wife.
That's what I just said.
Oh.
Well,
we thought you were kidding at that point. I was making stuff up.
Yeah, The Zookeeper's Wife. She is directing Mulan, and she said as of right now, she doesn't think it's going to be a musical. So it's not like officially announced, but they're planning on it being a badass action
Mulan
movie.
Mulan didn't have any great songs.
No. People like that movie thought.
No, Pocahontas is like the last one to have.
Colors of the Wind. Yeah, that's then, not a great song.
No, but it was that.
I know that Be a Man song is really.
It was okay.
I don't know.
When's the last time you saw anybody talk about that song?
Yeah.
But and then Aladdin's got Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, which is interesting because, I mean, but the street rat, you know, thief kind of, I mean, Guy Ritchie knows how to do that character. So I get
it. Man, that's so that is my favorite Disney movie. Like, I don't know how you do
that.
That's
my second favorite.
I don't know how you do that.
Well, it's going
to
be, I mean.
Unless you go back and take, like, whatever Robin Williams did and try to animate that again.
You know, Robin Williams has, like, 20 hours of outtakes on that movie.
I believe it. Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's all kinds of stuff that never made it in.
Yeah.
So who knows? Like, I'm not sure. That's one of those performances that I don't think you can duplicate.
Yeah.
But then we said that about Heath, you know, not comparing.
I think there's a line in the movie, no substitutions.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. But, you know, it's going to also have, I'm guessing, a more serious tone. It's Guy Ritchie and these Disney films are a little more grounded. So.
I mean, the Sherlock movies had some levity to them.
Right. But I'm just saying it's I just wonder.
King Arthur doesn't look to have any levity whatsoever.
So who do you cast as the genie? I have somebody in mind.
Jim Carrey is the first one that pops in my mind.
Yeah.
That would be obvious.
It's too obvious, too dated.
I think so. So like nowadays, comedians that are big right now.
Josh Gad.
Oh, man. That I mean, that's not even out of the realm of possibility. Like, that's a good.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Who do you think?
Kevin Hart.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. That would be
Talk
huge.
About swinging for the fences.
Yeah, Kevin Hart. Sure. Because it's like, one, there would be no comparison.
Yeah, right? It'd be totally different.
He does that, like, nonstop motor mouth patter thing like Robin Williams does.
Right, right.
He's legit funny.
Yeah.
And you would bring in an entirely different demographic.
Wow. You heard
Kevin
it here
Hart.
First.
Kevin Hart is who you should cast as a genie.
That would be really good.
You heard it here.
If they were smart,
that's
Kevin Hart.
Genius
that
casting.
That would be really
good. That's really good. And I mean, like Josh Gad, that's so easy with Olaf, with, you know, LeFou. Like, that makes sense.
And I like Josh Gad.
Right.
Not sure.
But man, that's smart.
And you need, and part of what made that movie so good was you had a comedian. You know, I don't know that Josh Gad is, with all due respect, not that I doubt he listens, but I don't know that he's a comedy writer in the way that he could fill in the gaps. Like, obviously, a lot of what he did in that movie, Robin Williams, was not on the page. Like, he went for it. And you need
hours.
A comedian that you can put in a booth and say, just do your thing for 15 hours,
right.
And we'll pick out the best 20 minutes.
Who's a comedian that's pretty famous for their impressions? Like, is there one?
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, but he's not really a comedian.
I know, but man, he's so good.
Kevin Hart's a great one. I think Kevin Spacey could be really good. Like,
he's
Kevin
so
Spacey
good.
Does.
But again, you're not going to get that energy level from Kevin Spacey that
that's
you're going to get. Because that's the other thing is you need that
the
manic,
high energy.
You need that manic energy.
Yeah. Will Ferrell has that. I mean, he's an improver and he's
John
really high
John
energy.
John C. Reilly.
Yeah. I can see Will Ferrell being
a good... I think John C. Reilly comes off as a little too much of a doofus.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That Will Ferrell can really, like, play it up. And
he's
and
actually... I just
Will Ferrell
Mega...
can come off like a doofus,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I just watched Megamind. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Megamind's pretty right. funny, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
That's not bad at all.
But,
so, yeah. Yeah, we'll have to see, but good idea there with the casting. So, Beauty and the Beast, $175 million, which is pretty much right on par with what they predicted. So, that's a very strong opening weekend for that domestically. Number two, Kong Skull Island, the movie from last week. It made another $25.6 million, a 58% drop. It is now up to a little bit over $100 million domestically. It has almost another $100 million overseas, so it's about $200 on its $185 million budget. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, so I mean, that will make, over the next weeks, globally, will make a ton of money, so I'm sure they'll be fine. Number three, Logan. So in week three, still sticking up there pretty high at the top. That's got to be word of mouth. $16.8 million, a 56% drop, still on almost 3,700 screens. It has made $183 million domestic and $300 million overseas.
That's a lot of money.
Logan, the rated R, extremely violent, you know, comic book movie, has made almost $500 million worldwide on a $97 million budget.
So we were, I saw Belko, which will be the movie of the week, and there is a poster for Life, the new
yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, they meant the cereal.
The space.
The cereal, yeah.
The board game.
The board game, This Is Life. Yeah. And then you sell off your entire yeah. family to win at the end.
Life is a board game. I don't know if you know this, but if you look at the box, it's actually B-O-R-E-D.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah. But the internet kind of broke when the people were just like, what if this is a prequel to Venom? And I was like,
oh, man, you know what? I saw the like,
what?
Look at this extreme fan theory, and I didn't read
it's
but
the idea is that the
symbiote,
the
is.
Organism that they find is the symbiote.
Oh, my. Is it the same studio?
I think it's Sony.
That would be smart because the problem they've always had with Venom is coming up with
ways to get him there.
Because in the books, he's so associated with Secret Wars.
Right.
And
I think in the cartoon and in the animated, the 90s cartoon, J. Jonah Jameson's son, John,
yeah.
was an astronaut.
Yeah, he goes to space and
it comes back with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like that's like, you know, Spider-Man saves the spaceship's going down. Spider-Man saves it and it gets on Spider-Man through that.
Yeah.
And I was like, just do that. Like there's no easy way to get him to get Venom to Earth without yeah. doing like as us comic nerds read yeah. that.
That would be ingenious.
Could you imagine
if
all of a sudden like either Ryan Reynolds or Jake Gyllenhaal are now Venom?
And how much more money that their movie would make. Like,
yeah.
even
like,
if
it's
an interesting
like the
premise,
Woods. It's like the Blair Witch, where it's just like,
yeah.
no, it's not. It's just called The Woods. It's
yeah.
called The Woods.
If they did that movie would, like, week two and three would just be like, because it would have that superhero,
yeah.
you know, attached to it.
Right, right.
Wow.
Obviously, it's not.
I know,
like, that's
I
not
know,
a
but
thing,
that's...
But I was like, yeah. that's pretty genius.
I don't think the studio has the balls to be like, to not market
as Venom,
if yeah. that was the case.
Yeah. But
you know
if they
mean?
Have
they
a movie,
don't
they
have the balls.
If they don't think that it's going to make that much,
there's,
and they
there's
can tweak
Sony's
it.
Rated R superhero movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Logan in 3 weeks, $500 million. So, yeah, here we go. Rated R everything. Let's see how it happens.
Yikes.
Yeah. Number four.
I heard Aladdin's going to be rated
yeah.
R.
Yeah. Guy Ritchie, they're going to be talking about.
Aladdin asked for a bigger schlong. That's one of your wishes, boy.
Number four, Get Out. And Joe, Get Out also
right,
with that. $13 million, a 37% drop in week four. So that is extremely
strong. You realize
that
Blumhouse has become so big they have a secondary studio now?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
BH Tilt?
Yeah.
That's what this
is. Blumhouse Tilt.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh.
For their like projects that I guess they don't like. It's not their baby, but
they put
produce
up some
it,
money
kind
for
of,
it.
Yeah,
yeah,
and distribute. Yeah. But Get Out, $132 million in 4 weeks, and that was on a $4.5 million budget.
Did I see that he's the first African-American director to debut at $100 million?
To debut
his first movie.
As a writer-director with $100 million. There's yeah. a lot of qualifiers
sure.
on that.
But yeah, that's impressive. Like that's crazy.
Blank check, whatever he wants to do next, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
The Key and Peele movie. No, that's not going to happen.
They did that. It's
Keanu.
Called Keanu. And yeah. Number five, The Shack, $6 million. That's a 40% drop. So $42.5 million domestically. Joe, you need to get out and help your buddy there.
I went to see a movie. I think it was when I went to see Logan. there was somebody standing in the lobby trying to give me tickets to The Shack.
Really?
And I was like, I already have tickets.
I'm going to go see a
better movie. I had extra in The Shack if you want to go. And I'm like, are you hitting on
trying to invite
like,
you?
What is going
No, I'm not
going to
blow
here.
You in
Especially
that
Especially because if, the theater I was at was one of those B&B theaters. So it's like it's...
The nice seats.
So, but it was reserve seats. So yeah. Like if he hands me a ticket, I have to sit wherever that ticket tells me to sit.
Oh, my God.
Right?
That's
just
awful.
Like, this is...
I don't want to do this.
This is awkward.
No. It's the new glory hole at the B&B.
Yes.
Yikes.
Yeah, you know B&B doesn't stand for bed and breakfast, right? Why don't you just take it down a notch there.
Oh. So, yeah.
Would you like to come in, sit next to me, and try and pray the gay away? And if it doesn't work,
there's
win,
the old,
win.
There's the old blow and bang.
Yeah.
So, moving on quickly. Number six, the Lego Batman movie. The
movie's not long enough for me to blow and bang. I need a... I mean, I'm not a young man.
Well, you don't finish off with a blow.
I need a refractory...
I'm with you.
Period.
Right. Fair enough.
A grace period, if you will.
Give me like 15, 20 minutes.
Pause for deletion. Okay.
All right.
Number six, the Lego Batman movie, the kids movie, making a ton of money.
Hey, don't blame us for the way those things fell.
$5.4 million, a 29% drop in week six.
That's awesome.
It has made $168 million domestically, another 120-ish overseas, so around approaching $300 million on an $80 million budget.
And who did they get? Who are they courting for Man of Steel 2? Matthew Vaughn.
That'll be interesting.
I mean, I think that's a completely different tone.
I mean, Matthew Vaughn is pretty stellar. So, I mean, if they give it to him, I mean...
They don't know what the hell.
I know.
If they give it to Matthew Vaughn and they let him do... I feel like he's got a Superman movie in him.
Yeah,
like, he can make a good Superman movie.
Yeah, he's a stellar visionary. So, if they let him do it, if they do what we think they're doing with Matt Reeves and, like, these great directors sign on, but they're like, I'm gonna... It's my vision.
If I'm signing it, I'm doing what I like. I will keep your DC cinematic universe there, but it's like Marvel. Like, hit these beats, the rest is up to you.
They got to keep the studio out of their whatever they're trying
to do. Was it Andy Warhol who once said that in the future everyone would be attached to a DC superhero project for 15 minutes?
I think that's what he said. Yes,
that's the quote. Actually,
did he do some Superman stuff?
Andy Warhol?
Yeah. Like, did he do like reinterpret like some Kurt Swan art?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
I think he did.
So, yeah, Lego Batman, 300 on an 80. That's a win. Number seven, the movie of the week, The Belko Experiment, $3.5 million. But, I mean, it's a $5 million budget.
Yeah.
It's a Blumhouse. So, I mean, we don't expect this movie to open up, especially Weekend of Beauty and the Beast. This is counter-programming at
its
finest.
I say it was going at a very different demo. I don't think there were very many people that liked Beauty and the Beast or Belko Experiment.
The theater we saw it in didn't even have it above the thing. Like, it was like Beauty and the Beast
here.
And Get Out. And I was just like,
I know.
Man, are we in the right theater?
I did the same thing. I was like, maybe we saw it at the same place.
Did you go to Ronnie's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, can you at least put the title up on the screen? And it was also weird, the numbering, because it was Theater 20. And you walk down the hall, and it's like 17, 18, 19, and then 20s all the way back at the front of the hall.
Right.
Like
looped around.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's a weird setup.
Yeah.
I went to AMC, and they had it in theater number one, right when you walked. That was easy. Yeah,
not at Ronnie's.
Yeah, apparently not. It was in the apparently it was in the broom closet at Ronnie's. Yikes! But anyway, so $3.5 million. So it made back around 60% of its budget opening weekend. It's an art house little horror film. So I mean, I don't expect it to make a. Oh, I don't really want to. That didn't sound right. I don't want to make a corny joke, but it's not supposed to make.
I think it's the only kind you got.
Well, there you go.
Zing.
Wow.
Ooh, shots fired.
Okay, I'll remember that.
That's going to leave a mark.
Nice. So, three.
That's my track.
That usually is.
Yeah, that's true.
$3.5 million opening weekend, and we'll get into that next episode. Number eight, Hidden Figures, $1.5 million, a 46% drop, still making money, $165 million domestic on that $25 million budget, and another $45 million overseas. So.
That's not out on digital, right?
No, like it's not out anywhere yet.
Okay,
I mean, it's still making millions at the box office. So, over $210 million on a $25 million budget. So they're going to milk that for every cent it's worth.
Heck yeah.
But it's a good movie, so they, they deserve it. Number nine, John Wick, Chapter 2. Nice to see that one still hanging in there in week six. It has made we'll call it $90 million domestic. So, you know, not too bad for that one. And they never have the budget posted for that, so I can't remember. We were thinking around 40-ish.
40 like to 45, something
yeah,
like that. Yeah,
so $90 million domestically and another $65 million overseas. So over 150 on probably a $40 to $50 million budget. So that's making money. And who wants into John Wick Chapter 3?
I don't know.
Samuel Jackson.
I'm in.
During the Kong interviews, he says he wants in with a capital I-N, like he needs to be in John Wick 3. So
I mean, what worries me now is that these are going to start becoming like the Expendables, where like guys are going to start showing up and just like, oh man, that guy's
hopefully, yeah.
It's weird, like, so the Expendables 2, like Van Damme's a bad guy in that, and you're just like, oh, he's not gonna, like, it's Van Damme and he's 50. That dude tore it up in a fight scene. Like, he looked,
he's awesome.
I was shocked at how in shape he looked, just because like his career fell off the face of the planet.
He had nothing else to do with this time.
That's true.
But you know, but he does
like a jumping spinning back kick, and I was like, I could still do it.
Pretty
awesome. Go watch CVD.
Go watch that pilot that won't get made, but it's awesome. Jean-Claude Van Johnson, I'm telling you. And he's funny. It's very self-aware and meta, and yeah, he's in great shape.
I was impressed.
It was good. And rounding out the top 10, Before I Fall, which is quickly falling off the top 10 here, $1 million, a 67% drop in week 3. It's around $11 million, and that one had, it doesn't have a budget that I can see, so.
Is that the,
that's the Groundhog Day
meme. Girls? Is, yeah.
So, yeah, and that's the box office.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Gavin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table and people can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket and on ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you want to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers, RealSpoilers.com, or on Twitter at RealSpoilers. And we're on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. And while you're back on Facebook, I did them out of order. You can share the show, join the League of Show Sharers, something like that.
It'd be cool if you did.
Kevin will fix all this in post.
Yeah, I'll just re-loop it. And
yeah, it'll be fine. This will be like it never occurred.
Also, if you're at your local Starbucks, feel free to visit the cork board and tack up a little piece of paper with links to our podcast.
How do we click on the cork board?
Yeah.
No, they got
it. Why isn't this working?
Yeah,
no, there's a link. I'm clicking. I posted a link.
No, they got to go old school. You got to type it up on your typewriter. Then you paste it up on the cork board. They tear it off. They got to type it in again. It's the whole thing.
So, anyway, that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next episode, we will tackle the Belko experiment. So until then, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Cut it.